Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Financial Coach for You, Blog Talk Radio, where we promote you and your brand. We believe in collaboration, working together to help each other. To learn about who we are and what we do, visit us at www.fc4uonestopshop.com.
Well, 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 hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode. Today I have the distinct pleasure of having Anthony Ewan. He is going to be our guest today. But who is Anthony Ewan? He is a United States Army veteran, holds a Bachelor of Science degree in criminal justice from California State University, has a master's degree in criminal justice, and in progress with his doctoral studies in psychology. And he's also a certified instructor, teaching mental health first aid to the general community, law enforcement, fire, EMS, first responders, everybody, including the military and the veterans. Welcome, Tony. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yes. So I am so excited to have you on board because, as you can see, I mean, all around us, we have so many episodes of people, you know, just a lot going on in the economy, going on in the world. People are just not right there. So tell us, what is mental health first aid?
Mental health first aid is essentially, it's kind of like based on the same platform as first aid CPR. Essentially, we're holding the line until the professional first responders arrive. So instead of it being a physical issue, it's a behavioral health or a mental health issue. That somebody may have a mental health crisis or a challenge. Well, when nobody else knows what to do, we're going to be the person that steps up and assists that person. And we're going to assist that person and help them make a better decision for themselves. We're going to respect them for who they are in their space, accept them for who they are, and then help them to do better, help them to find the strength within themselves so that they can de-escalate. And the great thing about mental health first aid is that one of two things can actually happen. That person can either actually self-stabilize before first responders arrive, in which case we still want to keep them around because we want the first responders to make sure that that person is really okay. Or we could be working with them when the first responders arrive, in which case we're going to transition them over to the first responders. Either way, we're going to make sure that that person is better off than when we initially encountered it. That's essentially what mental health first aid is.
We're helping people
do better.
Right. That is, I've never heard of the term before. I've heard of first aid and CPR, but mental health first aid, that's something that is pretty new. So can you tell me how long it's been around?
Mental health first aid has actually been around since 2001. It originated in Australia, and it came to the United States around about 2008. And in 2009, President Obama made mental health first aid a line item on a congressional budget, meaning that when Congress signs the budget, because of President Obama giving Congress that instruction, Congress allocates anywhere from $15 to $17 million a year for mental health first aid to be taught around the country at no cost to the people that take this class.
Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing.
And just so you know, First Lady Michelle Obama has taken this class. She's a certified mental health first aider.
Wow, wow. So, you know, when you hear mental health, there's such a stigma associated with the term mental health. How do you reduce the stigma? So many people experience, you know, some sort of trauma that triggers, you know, mental health illnesses. How do you reduce that, Tony?
One, during the mental health first aid class, what we do is we help people learn what the mental health challenge is in the first place. And then we help them understand what that person's experiencing. And then we teach people how to empathize with what that person's experiencing by putting ourselves in their shoes. Okay. Think about how you want to be treated. Think about how you want to be spoken to. And by doing that, you're going to realize that the way people speak to people with mental illnesses, that it's not really very nice. They've been denigrated. They've been ridiculed. They've been marginalized. And if you don't like the way you feel when you get denigrated or disrespected or marginalized, then you got to think about how they feel about that. So we help people make that transition so that they actually think about what they say before they say something. For example, we don't want to tell somebody that, you know what, I see you're acting crazy or cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but I'm here to help you. Okay. We want to respect that person for who they are and accept who they are for what they're going through in the space that they're in at that moment. It's about taking people for who they are in that space. It's about working with them in that moment. And it's about developing and fostering a positive relationship with that person. So the language that we use, the behaviors that we exhibit, it all has to be positive. Because in the end, like I said earlier, it's about helping that person do better for themselves. Okay. So, and you can't disrespect somebody in the hopes of trying to help them. We have to make them feel respected right from the beginning, because they already feel bad about what's going on with themselves. They're ashamed by what's, you know, by drawing that attention, that negative attention to themselves. So us adding to that doesn't help them feel better. So we have to change that thinking, change the mindset, and then educate other people as we go along. When we hear that language from other people, you know, when we hear people say, oh, that person is just schizophrenic, they're crazy. Well, they're actually not schizophrenic. They have schizophrenia. We have to learn how to treat people like people first. So a lot of what we do is we help reduce that stigma by teaching people how to treat people first and treat them as people that have these issues, that they're not identified as those issues.
Gotcha. Because I know a lot of times, you know, it's a self-sabotage. You know, people go through so much pressure as it is, so much stress as it is, and they internalize it. Sometimes you don't even know someone is going through a crisis because they just wear that mask. They wear that mask so well. And then you hear such and such a person, you know, check themselves out or, you know, committed suicide or, you know, whatever, you know. So it's like, how do you, as an individual that's suffering silently, what's the first step? What's the first step someone can take to allow, to trust someone to come in and help? Because if I'm going through a crisis, you know, I'm hearing voices in my head telling me, like, I'm not good enough. You're just not this, you're not that. I'm dealing with this on a personal note. How can I, you know, just switch it to where, oh, I need to get out of here. What are some words, I don't even know how to put it, but how can I switch that, just flip it to where now I'm talking positive? Now, or maybe I can reach out to someone. It's tough.
It's really difficult, especially for someone who's experiencing that. When you have voices talking to you, and they're talking negative to you, and they're telling that you deserve to die, or you're not worth it, or go steal this, or hurt this other person. Because those voices can do that. They can become homicidal and suicidal. Okay? When it's up to the mental health first aider to see what that person is going through. They have to listen. We have to be really, really good listeners, meaning that we don't just listen with our ears. We have to listen with everything about us. And then we have to let that person know that we do care. And we do that by telling them, just simply telling that person, look, I care about you. I'm concerned about you. And then what can I do to support you? Okay. So, and I say that because some people don't like the word, the phrase, what can I do to help? They don't like that word help because it makes them feel like they're less of a person. So I don't just say, what can I do to help? I also add, what can I do to support you? Okay. And then understand that, especially if they're experiencing a psychotic episode with the voices, our job as a mental health first aider is, one, we got to make sure we get them the help that they need, the professional help. But until they arrive, our job is to help them to de-escalate, meaning that we're going to be active listeners. We're going to listen to them. We're going to pay attention to them. We're going to validate what they're feeling, okay? Because a lot of people think that if we don't validate what they're feeling, that they'll become logical and reasonable. And you can't expect somebody to be something that they're not capable of being. And when somebody's experiencing a psychotic episode, logic and reason is not something they're capable of being. And we have a tendency to want to try to fix people. Well, as a mental health first aider, we're not trying to fix that person. We're trying to help that person find the strength to make themselves better, to help them make a better decision for themselves. And it's always going to come back to that, because in the end, we can't tell them what we're going to do for them. We have to make sure they understand, like I said, that we're here to support them, but we also want to help them and guide them so that they make a better and more positive decision for themselves. This is the only way it works, because in the end, it's their decision to want to do better, but it's up to us to help them get there. So
right.
What they're experiencing, and we got to understand that the things that they're experiencing, the paranoia, the suspiciousness, we have to get past that. We have to get that person to be able to trust us. That's the biggest barrier with that. So we have to be very transparent. We have to be very above board. They need to know that they can trust us, which means that we're not going to play along to get along. We're going to tell them everything they need to know. If they ask us a question, be honest about it, okay? But, I mean, it goes so far that it's missed as well. So we're going to make sure that our language, like our relationship, stays positive. And this is what's going to help that person feel better, because they know they have somebody that's really listening, that's actually on their side.
Right, and not trying to tell them, well, do this. If I were you, I would do that. Because that was my next question, Tony. It's like this class is so important because it teaches you what to say and what not to say. Someone that didn't take the class would end up saying the wrong words that would trigger someone to escalate rather than de-escalate the situation, you know,
yeah.
And then they feel bad about it. So can you give us some examples of what are alternative words to use instead of saying, oh, you're crazy, for example? What's an alternative word or statement you can say to that person, or not say that word at all?
Oh, we just wouldn't even use that word at all. Okay, words like crazy, cuckoo, psycho, schizo, we would not use that language at all.
Good.
Again, those are words that identify that person as a disease.
Right.
We want to call that person by their name. Okay, their name is Tony. We want to call him Tony. Okay, Tony's experiencing a psychotic episode, and that's how we say that. Well, I understand that you're experiencing some issues, and I'm here to help you, okay? What can I do, or how can I help? And that's what can I do to support you? You want to make sure you do that because, we have to make them feel respected. So
right.
That other language, we can't use those words at all.
So in the event that a person come upon someone that is experiencing, you know, such behaviors, and they're not trained, they call 911, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 911 would bring a trained mental health first aid specialist with them to de-escalate that situation, because I know we've heard of times when the police come out and they start tasing or start, causing the situation to get worse because they don't know how to deal with the individual. So is that the reason why they have the trainings now, that they need to come out in pairs, or you guys go out first before the police comes out?
Well, what's happened is in San Diego County, we have what's known as the Psychiatric Emergency Response Team. It consists of a clinician and a police officer. They would show up, they get there as soon as they can, because all their calls are mental health first aid calls. But what is happening now is that we now have mobile crisis response teams that just consist of clinicians. And they're going to be the new first line of defense when it comes to somebody having that challenge or experiencing that crisis. So there won't be police officers that are going to be the first line. They're not going to be the first ones to show up unless there's some violence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the clinicians will be the one to initially work with that person. The police will be standing by on the off chance that there may be some violence. And that's one of the myths that's just perpetrated about people with mental illness, is that they're violent or they're dangerous. And
right.
That's not true. As a matter of fact, 95 to 97% of people with mental illnesses are not violent. They're more likely to be the victims of violence. Okay, That's the issue, is that they're the ones that are being hurt and assaulted. It's not the other way around. Okay.
Wow.
So with the new mobile crisis response teams coming out, they're the first line of defense, and it's going to help diffuse that situation, because when people see uniforms, their anxiety goes up.
Right.
So this is why the clinicians are going to be dressed differently, they're going to respond differently, and they're going to be there to help that person. Also, after July of this year, 911 is no longer going to be used for anyone that has a mental health challenge or a mental health crisis. The number is going to be changed to 988. And that's nationally. Okay. As a matter of fact, your cell phone carriers have already programmed your phone, so when you call 988 after July, it's going to work. It's going to
go exactly.
To dispatch that deals with mental health issues. And even if you call 911, because most people are used to 911, they're going to get redirected to 988, okay, as long as it's a mental health issue. Okay.
Right. Well, that is so informative. It's just, I wish you had a longer time. So tell me, Tony, if someone listening to this show right now wants to have a class or hold a class. You said the classes are free because it's taken care of. But how do they sign up, or how do they, solicit your agency? How do they book a class?
Okay. If somebody was interested in taking the class, they can go to www.mhasd.com. That's M as in Mary, H as in hotel, A as in alpha, S as in Sierra, D as in Delta, .org. Okay. Basically, it's Mental Health America San Diego .org. And then just go under programs. You could sign up there. And then once you sign up, just show up with either virtually or in person. We teach on both platforms. Okay. And then once you're certified, the certification is good for 3 years, and you're going to get a lot of information that you're going to be able to use and keep.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Tony, for your time, and it has been very enlightening. And definitely welcome you back in the future. Have a wonderful, blessed day, and thank you for what you do, sir.
Thank you, Ray. You do the same. Take care.
All right.
You have been listening to Financial Coach for You, Blog Talk Radio, where we promote you and your brand. For more info, visit
visit us at www.fb4u.com. One-stop